health industry groups are expected to deliver specific plans to the White House today.
If you like the plan you have, you can keep it.
To take over the health care system, either directly or indirectly, for the government to control it.
A lot of my friends, where they get their health care from is the emergency room. They're in the emergency room every week. They break a nail in the emergency room.
How are you going to avoid not having the ability to cost shift as you shrink that portion of privately funded health insurance?
Good morning, everyone. This week, we're talking about the cost of health care in this country. Barack Obama, of course, and the Congress are putting it front and center on the legislative agenda. We will see how that turns out. But many people have already gone ahead and done their own innovation in health care, and we're going to talk about those in just a moment. But Barack Obama yesterday took it to the doctors. He spoke before the American Medical Association, and his biggest applause lines came when he mentioned this.
We can build a health care system that allows you to be physicians instead of administrators and accountants, a system that gives Americans the best care at the lowest cost, a system that eases up the pressure on businesses and unleashes the promise of our economy.
Many in the healthcare economy have suggested that the way the system operates, doctors spend much too much time being accountants and administrators. But many doctors have also taken into their own hands their quality of life and have modified the way they do their own practices so that they don't spend so much time pushing paper and spend more time taking care of patients. And we have two of those doctors with us this morning, Dr. John Wasson, a geriatrician and professor of community and family medicine at Dartmouth Medical School, joins us from Norwich, Vermont. Dr. Wasson, good morning.
Good morning.
And Dr. Moitri Savard, family physician who runs a micro practice, so-called, in Long Island City, New York. She joins us from Queens. Doctor?
Good morning.
Explain to me, first of all, what a micro practice is and how it represents an attempt by doctors and medical professionals to improve the quality of their health care delivery, even as they reduce costs.
Sure. Well, my practice is a smaller practice. I have about 700 active patients. I use a tremendous amount of technology, including electronic medical records and online scheduling. And my patients have tremendous access to me via email, cell phone. I have low overhead. I don't have a lot of staff. I share my rent with other people in the community. And I offer my patients longer appointments. In general, my appointments are 30 minutes long.
Now, do you bill them by the minute, the way lawyers do? How do you change your financial relationship with your patients to execute this style of treatment?
I actually do take insurance, and the difference is I don't have a lot of staff helping me with the insurance. So I'm actually down there trying to get reimbursed and working with the insurance companies on payments. So really, the financial relationship hasn't changed from the traditional relationship.
All right, let's go back to Barack Obama for a moment. Dr. Wasson, I want you to listen to this and tell me how it resonates with you. This is Barack Obama speaking yesterday in Chicago at the AMA.
That's not why you became doctors. That's not why you put in all those hours in the anatomy suite or the OR. That's not what brings you back to a patient's bedside to check in or makes you call a loved one of a patient to say it'll be fine. You didn't enter this profession to be bean counters and paper pushers. You entered this profession to be healers. And that's what our healthcare system should let you be.
Dr. John Wasson, what is it in the healthcare system that prevents you from being a healer, and how do you get back to that traditional healing that Barack Obama spoke about yesterday and that rhetorical flourish there before the AMA?
Well, there are probably two things that keep doctors from engaging in what they can do best. The first is the waste that Moitri just articulated. A typical doctor's office like hers spends about $70,000 a year in time and energy and in staffing dealing with administrative stuff. And that obviously takes time from somewhere else. And that is what Barack Obama is alluding to in the first part of his message.
Dr. Wasson, before you continue, what is it that is the incentive to spend that $70,000 if you're a physician? Why do that kind of work if it's so miserable?
Because you have no choice.
Mm-hmm. Okay, great.
Very simple.
Continue.
And the second part of the message, hidden to a great degree, is that there's a huge amount of waste throughout the system in the way the doctor's offices are actually organized. And Moitra has nicely articulated a way that she has minimized those costs in her practice so that she doesn't have to run so fast, cut patient time so much to cover an excessively wasteful overhead.
Dr. Savard, does increased patient time on the front end of your treatment reduce the number of tests and procedures that might be assigned or prescribed for patients on the back end at hospitals and other facilities?
Absolutely. Absolutely. Because I have a lot more time for patient education. And so patients understand that really, for example, a full body CAT scan is not what they need, that the radiation involved is not worth, like, you know, the little piece of information they might gain from it. I spend a lot of time on that kind of counseling. Unfortunately, in our current reimbursement system, physicians are paid by, you know, very procedurally based. So a lot of the counseling we do isn't reimbursed, but it does save a tremendous amount of money and time on the patient's part.
Dr. Wasson, convince me that paying more upfront for a longer doctor visit is going to save me money in the long run, if that's the structure for me as a consumer. And then I want to talk about some of the incentives before we go.
Well, it's hard to convince that time alone is an important commodity, although lack of time certainly is. So all of us would agree 3 minutes with a physician is not going to cover the issues that matter to you. So you have to add to what Moitra is saying, which is the time she's able to spend with her patients, with the information quality and her ability to respond appropriately. And so in the practices that we work with around the country, we spend a lot of time focusing on methods to really make any time spent very valuable, using technologies, using office redesign.
All right, quickly, this is a kind of a yes-no, optimism-pessimism question for both of you. Are you confident that this wave of reform is going to put the incentives in the direction of these kinds of cost savings? Congress says it's going to cost us $1 trillion one way or another. Dr. Savard?
Yes, but I'm an eternal optimist.
All right, Dr. Wasson?
I'll say no, but I'd like to be an optimist.
All right, Dr. John Wasson, thanks so much. Geriatrician and professor of community and family medicine at Dartmouth Medical School, and Dr. Moitra Savard, family physician who runs a micro practice in Long Island City, New York. Thanks so much to both of you.
Thank you.
You're welcome.
So you've been hearing what our doctors have been saying about their healthcare system and how they would improve it, but how would you design the perfect healthcare plan for yourself? You've heard about micro practices. How would you make healthcare affordable?
I think we could easily finance a healthcare plan in a number of ways. We could look at how they do it in England or France or Cuba, where it's free. Costa Rica, it's free. We could look at how they do it. They're a lot poorer countries than we are.
So how would you cut your healthcare costs? What's not covered? Tell us your take at 877-8-MY-TAKE or MyTake at thetakeaway.org.
I'm John Hockenberry.
And I'm Femi Okeh, and you're listening to The Takeaway.
At Radiolab, we love nothing more than nerding out about science, neuroscience, chemistry.
But we do also like to get into other kinds of stories. Stories about policing. Or
politics.
Country music.
Hockey.
Sex. Of bugs.
Regardless of whether we're looking at science or not science, we bring a rigorous curiosity to get you the answers.
And hopefully make you see the world anew.
Radiolab, adventures on the edge of what we think we know.
Wherever you get your podcasts.